Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Good.
We're small but mighty. We're two or more gathered, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we have a good program for our listening audience today. Here at Neighbors of Hope, we've been studying a lot about forgiveness. Right? So I think we'll look at a little pericope on forgiveness that was suggested by one of you. I think it's appropriate for all of us. When we think about forgiveness. So let's just jump into it, shall we? Would someone like to read? We're in the Gospel of Matthew. We're looking at chapter 18, beginning at verse 21 through the end of the chapter. So if someone could read that for us, that would be fantastic.
Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. Therefore, the kingdom of God is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 bags of gold was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all he had be sold to repay the debt. At this, the servant fell on his knees before him. 'Be patient with me,' he begged, 'and I will pay back everything.' The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. 'Pay back what you owe me,' he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, 'Be patient with me, and I will pay it back.' But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were outraged and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said, "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master handed him over to the jailer to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart."
Okay. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Any initial thoughts?
Well, I think this is really striking to me because as addicts, once we are getting out of that blatantly addictive behavior, whether the drugs or the drinking or whatever, video games and that, so we like to think that it's okay now, that everybody owes me forgiveness, but we don't want to look behind us and see all the wreckage we left behind. You want to see that once we came to Jesus, we're completely clean from head to toe, and now it's all gone. But I don't see it that way. But what if I hadn't been unforgiven? I would be dead. Or my own.
Now you're talking about forgiven for
yes.
Jesus?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the forgiveness of everyone else around me. So, it's like, I have no right withholding forgiveness from anyone.
So when we started our study on forgiveness, I opened that up and said that, forgiveness is really a twofold act, right? That it's a gift, right, that we receive from God through Jesus. Right? But it's also a task, right? You're right. We cannot, and it's pretty much what this pericope is about, we cannot just accept the forgiveness from our master and then not go out there and practice it, which is really what the story is about, right? We cannot accept the gift and then not practice the task. And it's interesting the way that we come up with all kinds of excuses, right? "Well, Pastor Steve, who do you think I am, Jesus?" Now, if you pay close attention to the little parable, the classic Matthean sage, right? Matthew's very good at looking at Jesus as some sage, right? A man of wisdom who takes Peter's inquiry, right? And says all the time. Now, why do you think he means it all the time? Now, we've learned in here that part of God's primary agenda is community. And if you're going to have a healthy community, you need to have healthy relationships in that community. So we need to forgive all the time, because we're going to get hurt and we're going to hurt other people. Part of forgiveness as a task is to keep the community healthy, the relationships healthy. But what else? What's the master really asking of the slave here? How come you don't look like me?
Yeah.
And yeah, we can be really quick to accept the forgiveness from Jesus, and we can be very slow to look like Jesus in forgiving others. Alright? And it's interesting, he starts out with Peter, goes, guess what? This kingdom of God, right? This reign of God's will looks like this, right? And we said forgiveness is the central act in the gospel, right? And that being said, then if we're going to make visible and tangible the reign, the will, the rule, the kingdom of God here on earth right now, we are going to have to practice forgiveness. Right? We can't simply just receive it. Right? There's that task component. We must give it away. And if we don't, what is the matter? If you don't practice forgiveness, what does this story say? What is Jesus saying? Away from me. You know? I mean, Jesus is also intentionally making this in alignment with the legalists of his day. Because at first the slave says to the master, give me some time and I'll pay my entire debt. Right? There's some way through our good works we can pay our debt. Right? When he falls on his knees, be patient with me, I'll pay my debt. And it says there that the master then is moved, right? Compassion, merciful, and says, no, your debt is clear. Complete forgiveness. You don't have to, right? And we call that grace, right? But then we don't practice grace. We'll receive the grace, but we won't practice grace. We'll receive the forgiveness, but we won't practice it. And the whole story is, look at, you're called to be like me, right? But we study Paul when we were looking at our character matters, right? That we're called to be imitators of God, that we're called to be Christ-like. So the excuse that, Pastor Steve, who do you think I am, Jesus? Doesn't work here, right? When somebody asks me that, it's like, well, yeah, I do. Right? You're supposed to be Christ-like. And one of the ways we make visible and tangible the kingdom of God in our midst is when we look like Jesus through forgiveness.
It makes me think.
Good insight.
It makes me think about that, how the kingdom, you teach us about how the kingdom the world teaches us retributive justice. And the kingdom teaches us restorative justice. And, you know, and it's, and then, you know, Jesus gives us this example in here where the, how not to do forgiveness. Where the guy, you know, grabs the guy and chokes the guy and then has him thrown into prison after just being forgiven himself. You know, like, here's how it looks. Here's how it doesn't look. And it's just interesting to me because that's in our natural response. Hurt people. That's not how the kingdom works, you know. That's not how the kingdom works, where we can all warm our hands on that same fire, you know. It takes a lot of forgiveness of self. It takes a lot of forgiveness of others, and the practical application of this, that is not easy whatsoever. But it's cool how when you get to break these down, how specific. For a very linear thought, a very Newtonian thought type of people, Jesus really does a good job of breaking this stuff down in A, B, C, and D.
Yeah, I think part of the compassion that we see throughout the life of Jesus is precisely what's needed, because it seems so, you said, unnatural for us to forgive. it seems what's natural and instinctive, intrinsic within us is to retaliate, to hurt back. Right? Yet we never, or do we? What do you think? Do we think it's natural for Jesus to forgive us?
Yeah.
Or, right? Intrinsic. And if that's the case, is that why we're so flippant with it? Right? Well, I just know. Which gives us license to kill, so to speak, right? License to engage, knowing that it's natural for him to forgive us, so he will always forgive me. And all that's true, he will. But as we see here, but there's also this expectation, right? There's a task that comes with it. I may still forgive you, but that doesn't mean there's not going to be consequences if you can't, right? If you can't pay it forward. Yeah, it's very challenging, and it does seem unnatural. And when we talk about, like, in our character matter study, changing your golf grip, right? Changing your habits. If you've been golfing a long time, you know, you start rolling over your right hand a little bit more to kind of cut down on the slice or something. That feels very unnatural now because, you know, for 15 years I've been swinging the club this way. This is different. Well, you swing it in the new, with the new grip enough times, it becomes what? Your new nature. It becomes second nature. And Jesus really challenges, if we're going to put on, if we're going to clothe ourselves in Christ, as Paul would say, right? We're going to put Jesus on, then what should be natural for us, at least become natural in second nature, is to forgive others. Right? You were going to say?
I think it's difficult for us to remember that forgiveness is a gift, that it's not something that we can control, that we can't necessarily earn forgiveness. You know, I know in my addiction I left a lot of wreckage behind me, and you know, I decided to change my ways, and it's, you can't just say I'm sorry. You know, I've done that before, and it becomes kind of a boy cry wolf kind of thing, you know, where, yeah, you say you're sorry, but you're probably going to do this again kind of thing, you know, and you really do need to change. That's a big part of it, the conversion part of it. It's not just asking for forgiveness, you know. And I think we don't do that ourselves. We expect, you know, yeah, this person comes to us saying, you know, they've hurt us, they acknowledge that, they're sorry, but we still kind of hold it in the back of our mind, well, are they going to do this again?
Yeah, and this is where we say that feels more natural, doesn't it? I mean, when we start, I love the way that you just said, you know, in our mind, how's Jesus closed the pericope out? Right, when you forgive from your heart. Because our mind, we can come up with all kinds of reasons not to forgive people. But by heart, we're not talking about that organ that pumps blood. We're talking about, literally, it's the center of our being. We will never forgive people from the center of our being unless Jesus is the center of our being. Because ultimately we'd say it's him forgiving them through us, which we studied in our character matters as priests and rulers, right? It's God coming in us and through us into creation, then the beauty and justice of creation coming into us and through us back up to God. We become the vessel, the ambassador, the conduit, right? Because yeah, you're absolutely right. If we start thinking about forgiveness simply from a mind, a mental perspective, we'll come up with all kinds of reasons, but we don't see God doing that. Well, gentlemen, thank you very much for joining us on this week's edition of One Made Flesh. So until we meet again, may God's grace, peace, love, and forgiveness be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a women's and children's transitional housing program. Find out how you can become a neighbor of hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.